Hey guys, I'm Em from the fashion and beauty blog, The Lipstick Fever. When I moved to London over a year ago, I felt like there weren't a ton of obvious resources for women moving abroad or moving cities. My biggest source of strength and growth for my big move was through the inspiring and amazing women from all over the world that I've been meeting. Now, I want to share those conversations with you. We're going to hear from female entrepreneurs, industry experts, and some major female badasses on a global level. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Big Move Podcast. I am your host, Em, and today I'm sitting down with Megan Rossi. Megan is a registered dietitian and nutritionist with a PhD in gut health from the Faculty of Medicine and Biomedical Sciences at the University of Queensland, Australia. Megan leads research at King's College London, investigating nutrition-based therapies in gut health, including pre and probiotics, dietary fibers, the low FODMAP diet, and food additives. Megan also leads the Gut Health Clinic on Harley Street, works in public engagement at The Gut Health Doctor, and has written an evidence-based practical guide to your gut health called Eat Yourself Healthy. Megan, welcome to the podcast.
It's a pleasure to be here.
And thanks for coming by. Your clinic is literally a block away from my apartment.
It's a dream.
I love it. So you're very familiar with this area, I imagine.
Yeah, it's such a beautiful street. You're very lucky to live here.
Yes. So it's great to have you on. We'll kind of just like jump right into things. I have so many questions for you. So you are not from here. I can tell by your accent. So where are you from and what was life like growing up for you?
So I'm from Australia, for those who haven't guessed, my slightly bogan accent. So I actually grew up in Cairns, which is right near the Great Barrier Reef. So it's a holiday destination. So a lot of people have actually been there. And I actually grew up on a farm just outside of Cairns. So my upbringing was, you know, full of, you know, fresh fruit and veggies, playing in the dirt, going fishing. So quite a lot different to the London lifestyle. Totally. But I feel really fortunate to have that sort of upbringing.
That sounds like the dream. We need a little bit of that right now, I feel like.
Yeah, absolutely. Good for your immune system to build it as a child.
Absolutely. And so you're based in the UK now. Do you live in London or are you outside of London?
So I live London Bridge. So Okay. Nice and central, because one of my key things when I moved over here is that I wasn't going to travel an hour each day to work. So it's literally a 10-minute cycle.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. And if you could live in any other city in the entire world, where would you want to live?
Oh, God, that's a bit hard. I've always had a bit of a thing for New York. Central Park is just the most incredible place. But I think probably in the future, I might consider Melbourne back in Australia, just because it's a little bit slower, but mm-hmm. also has the cultural aspects. When you have kids and things like that, I kind of want to give them more of a chilled non-London lifestyle.
Makes sense. So maybe back to your roots at some point.
Yeah.
But for now, happy and working.
Very happy in
the London life. I love it. So onto your career background, which is so impressive. So kind of first and foremost, can you tell us a little bit about your educational and your career background?
So straight from school, I decided to do nutrition and dietetics because I just really, really loved food. And then I've also always had a bit of a thing with science. My mom was a science teacher, so I had a bit of an inquisitive mindset early on. So combine them together, dietetics is the best sort of degree to go into. So I studied that for 4 years. And then I started working as a clinical dietitian, so in the hospital setting with quite sick people. But also I was working as a nutritionist for the Australian Olympic synchronized swimming team. And in those scenarios, I noticed actually in both populations, gut health was becoming more important to people's health and happiness. So that was 2010, and got me thinking, I want to know more about the gut. You know, there wasn't a lot of research at the time. So that's when I decided to do a PhD, trying to investigate whether we looked after our gut through the right nutrition, whether that could improve the health of other organs, like our mental health and our heart health. Mm-hmm. So then I finished that 2015, and then I moved over to the UK from there. And I continue to work as a research fellow at King's now.
Okay, amazing. And so what brought you over to London? Was it your educational background, or was it like a job in particular or something?
Yeah, it was to work at King's. So after my PhD, I was like, you know what, if I want to have an impact in people's health, it's going to be via the gut. So I really wanted to dedicate the rest of my career to gut health. So I looked around the world who was doing the most innovative gut health research, and it was King's.
Okay.
So yeah, that led me here.
Okay, amazing. And you have your book, Eat Yourself Healthy, which is a fairly recent endeavor of yours, yes?
Yeah. So it came out in September.
Okay, exciting. Yeah. So can you tell us a little bit about your book, maybe for the audience, like what are a few main things that people can expect from reading something like this?
Yeah. So it's called Eat Yourself Healthy. And I like to think of it as a bit of a manual to tapping into inner potential. So it's all about gut health, and it explores, you know, what is gut health? Why should we all be caring about gut health? How to nurture your gut health? It has got recipes in it, looks at things like our mental health and our gut health, kind of the link between the two, our gut brain axis.
Sure.
And then also things like gut symptoms, which are hugely common, how to kind of implement different types of evidence-based strategies through nutrition and lifestyle to improve those symptoms.
Okay, cool. It sounds like almost like a gut health 101, kind of like everything you need in one go.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's the way that, you know, obviously I'm biased, but a lot of people have summarized it that way.
Okay, cool. No, that's brilliant. And you also lead the gut health clinic which is just around the corner in central London. What exactly is this clinic? What do you guys do there? And then what are like the types of things that people mainly come in and see you for?
Yeah. So we're a team of gut specialist dietitians, and I have always, alongside my research career, I've always worked in clinical practice as well, just to make sure that my research was really relevant, and I love talking to people. So I've always seen, you know, patients and clients. But it was about a year ago where just through social media, I just had so much interest and some, you know, more interest that I could accommodate for. So I founded the Gut Health Clinic and now have a team of 5 gut specialist dietitians. So all of them are doing their PhD or have done a PhD or working, you know, in gut specialty areas. And we see a range of people. I guess the most common is things like irritable bowel syndrome. So that's when people have got, you know, stomach pain and bloating and funky kind of stools. That's probably the most common.
Okay.
And that affects like 10% of the Western world. So it's very common. But actually, the more the research is unfolding around how important our gut health is to things like our mental health, we're actually starting to see, you know, people who don't have any gut symptoms but have mental health issues or have got diabetes, type 2, and are looking at other ways to really try help with their mental health and their, you know, blood sugar regulation, things like that. And we see gut health seems to be really important in that.
Okay, cool. And so for those types of patients, are you kind of revamping their current diet and offering like food suggestions and just kind of giving them like a new baseline?
Yeah, absolutely. So reviewing what they're currently doing in terms of diet, but also lifestyle. So things like, we know, sleep and stress actually have a huge role to play in terms of our gut health, and in turn affecting things like our mental health and, you know, our body weight and all that sort of stuff. So it's quite holistic, but it all very much is based on the evidence. And, you know, I think that's one of the really important reasons why I founded the Gut Health Clinic, is because I wanted a team of evidence-based specialists. I see, like, around, particularly around Harley Street, sadly, there is a lot of people who, you know, claim to be specialists but actually have no qualifications. So that's why I wanted to make sure all of the clinicians, you know, work at King's College in London or have, you know, the credentials that you need essentially to know the ins and outs of the gut.
Totally. That makes so much sense. Okay. So I was walking around Whole Foods and I spotted your brand. So you, on top of everything else that you do, you also have a food line and a food brand called Bio and Me. Can you tell us a little bit about that? And then maybe like some of the key products that you guys have come out with?
Yeah. So this has been a little baby of mine. We only launched November last year. So we're only very fresh. But I guess one of the things I've always known is, you know, working as a clinician, is that education is just half the battle. So if you help people, like with the book, educate them on how to have a healthy gut, you know, that's only half of it. If you don't have convenient foods available, because everyone leads very busy lives, you know, not everyone can go and cook in the kitchen for hours and source all the freshest ingredients, then people aren't going to be able to translate those recommendations. So I've known that I've always wanted to get into food industry. And I had a few opportunities to work with really big food brands. And I thought, oh my God, this is amazing, because they were launching gut health ranges. And I thought, this is, you know, definitely how I'm going to have an impact. But sadly, when we got to more deep into the negotiations, they essentially wanted me to brand slap. And, you know, when I looked at their ingredients, they just weren't good for the gut. And I, you know, couldn't put my name to that. So after a few of them had approached me and I just had to turn them down, I knew that if I ever wanted to get into food industry, I was going to have to do it myself. So that's when I met my business partner who was ex-Nestle. So I had all those business skills that I didn't have. And we joined forces and Bio and me, here we are. So we've started off with a gut-loving granola.
Okay.
So it's got 15 different plant-based ingredients. And one of the things we're seeing with gut health is that the goal seems to be trying to get at least 30 different types of plant-based ingredients in your diet per week that feeds a good bacteria and is associated with better gut health and better mental health and things like that. So like I said, the product's got the 15 different types in it. So we've got things like chickpeas in it and even some veggies. But the important thing is we've really pushed on the delicious element. So, you know, people aren't necessarily going to know that it's got veggies or chickpeas in it. So we've made them in such a way where it is actually, really delicious. And, and that's coming from my husband who used to eat Cocoa Pops for breakfast.
Oh, my goodness.
So having that swap, he's actually happy to have that swap, which is amazing. And it's loaded with dietary fiber, which feeds the gut bacteria, no added sugar and things like that. And we're launching a few other ranges in summer.
Okay. So exciting. So throughout all of your endeavors, which has kind of led you to ultimately become the gut health doctor, you're such an expert in your field. What has been some of the biggest challenges?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Obviously, there's been many, but I think probably one of the earlier ones was to decide to cut down my research hours. So I was on the trajectory to go to become an independent researcher, then a professor, but I decided that, that wasn't for me, despite that being kind of the stereotypical pathway that you would do after a PhD. And that was a really hard decision because all of my colleagues had essentially done that. So I was kind of, trotting off the beaten path and I was, a little bit scared by it, but I'm really happy that I did it and just kind of took that plunge and decided that if I wanted to make my mark, I had to do different things from what other people were doing.
Makes sense. And to expand all of your different business lines, it sounds like you just had to kind of shift gears. Makes sense.
Yeah.
So with so much going on, you have your clinic, you have your new brand Bio and Me, your book, and then your social media platforms, which are amazing. I feel like you give away like really great gut health tips and you're kind of constantly on that too. How do you prioritize your time? Do you have any like tips that you can share with the audience that kind of keep you organized and sane?
Yeah. So I think having a great team around you is key. So when I employ staff, I make sure that they're the right people. So I spend a lot of time in employing the right people. And I think doing, practicing what I preach in terms of, looking after my own gut health, doing things like mindfulness, I do that every morning. And I think that kind of just gives me a little bit of extra headspace and making sure I prioritize sleep and things like that, which, I really think has an important part to play in terms of our mental focus and our ability to, go above and beyond.
Definitely. I couldn't agree more with you. It's like, do you do the meditation in the morning or at night? Or is there like a specific time?
Yeah. So I usually do it in the morning.
Okay.
And what we see with the research is it doesn't necessarily matter exactly when you do it, but if you can try to do it at the same time every day and try to kind of tap into that neural pathway, we think is the key.
Yeah, absolutely. Forming those like daily habits around it. Totally. So getting into some gut health specific questions.
My favorite part.
Yes. So kind of like going back to basics, first and foremost, can you explain like what exactly gut health is and then why is it so important for people to be thinking about?
Yeah. I think, discussing what it actually is so key because we hear the word more and more, but actually what it is rarely communicated. So gut health relates to the functioning of our entire digestive tract. So it's this 9-meter long tube essentially that delivers food from entry all the way to exit. Now, if I had to summarize why that 9 meters is so important, there's really three key areas. The first one is around digestion. So you know the old saying, you are what you eat? It's not necessarily true. It's more you are what you digest. Because no matter how healthy the food you're putting into your body is, if you don't have a good gut lining, you're not going to extract that nutrition out from your gut into your blood. So that's the first important one. To get the most out of your food, you need to have good gut health. The second one is the fact that 70% of our immune system actually lays along that 9 meter digestive tract. So
wow.
If you want things like less sick days, lower risk of allergies and autoimmune conditions, you need to have good gut health. And the third element is really what's brought to the fame to the concept. And that is the fact that we contain trillions of bacteria. And these bacteria do so many things for us. They produce so many different hormones and vitamins. And we're actually starting to see that the bacteria have been linked to the health of pretty much every other organ in our body. So they seem to be key. Kind of, I treat them like this little inner pet.
Sure.
So nourishing them and looking after them, is going to help with your overall health and happiness.
Okay. That makes so much sense. And can you share some like staple foods that we should have in our health to kind of promote a healthy gut, or maybe some like favorite recipes of yours?
Yeah. So one of the key things I touched on before is we see people who've got a really diverse range of plant-based foods in their diet seem to have better gut health. So the number we're aiming for is 30 a week. If you go above that, brilliant. But most of us kind of having maybe 10 to 15, and it comes from all six plant-based food groups. We think diversity is key, not just cutting all your fiber from vegetables, but actually getting them from different whole grains, nuts, seeds, legumes, fruit, and your vegetables. So that diversity is thought to be key. So, in my fridge, I always have mixed seeds, mixed nuts, mixed legumes. So not just getting the chickpeas, but actually getting the four bean mix, not just getting the chia seeds, but getting the four seed mix. That those diversity elements, I think, is really important. I make my own kefir, which is super, super easy. It's like a fermented dairy, so kind of like yogurt, but it's okay. Got more different types of microbes in it. I also have a lot of, I always have yogurt in my fridge as well. Again, that being fermented dairy, it's just so good to have like with sauces and dips and things like that.
Yeah.
And then in terms of recipes, so in the book, I've got 50 different gut-loving recipes.
Amazing.
And, I've got quite a few. My prebiotic chocolate bark is definitely a winner. Like if I'm going to a party or something, I can only have 5 minutes. I whip that up and it looks pretty impressive, but it doesn't take long at all.
Delicious. What's in that?
So it's got some white chocolate. So okay. That's... So the concept of it is actually the fact that gut health is about including things in your diet rather than restricting.
Sure.
So the white chocolate is for me because white chocolate's my favorite food. But what I've done, I've added in prebiotics to feed the bacteria. So not only feeding my taste buds, but also the bacteria. So I've added things like dried mango, pistachios, and extra virgin olive oil with some dark chocolate drizzled on top.
Oh, that sounds
delicious. So I'll have to share the recipe.
Yes, definitely.
And then also my meatless meatballs is a winner as well.
Okay.
So highlighting that actually, even for the meat eaters, having plant-based foods can be so tasty and fulfilling.
Yeah, because that led me into my next question of like, is there a diet that is best for gut health? Is it vegan, vegetarian, or is it not necessarily that? Is it moderation?
Yeah, really good question. So you actually don't have to go all the way to be vegan to have good gut health. What they've actually said, so they've actually looked at this in research, and they've looked at people's gut health who are vegan versus those who are omnivores. So eat plant-based, but also have some meat and fermented dairy and things like that. And what they found that being vegan didn't mean they had better gut health. What was the predictor is that diversity piece. So how many different types of plant-based foods they were having.
Okay.
So that kind of brings us to the point that you can do veganism really well, but you can also do it really poorly and have heaps of processed foods. And therefore that's not going to be good for your gut health. And the same with being an omnivore in terms of how much meat you're having, how much dairy and things like that.
Definitely. And is it also about like quality of where your food is coming from? So like, I feel like some food fads or diets are, they kind of tell you to cut down on dairy and do, almond and oat milk. But I feel like more and more we're starting to see like dairy is actually really good for you. But is it about sourcing it from the right places? Like maybe it's a farmer's market, or like how do you go about that?
Yeah, that's a really good point, because we're starting to see a lot of these like alternate vegan based foods, like the vegan patties and stuff like that, actually have a lot of additives in it. And we're doing a research study at the moment at King's looking at specific food additives, and we think some of them may have a negative impact on our gut health. So I'm actually all about those sorts of things, making your own vegetarian patties from scratch, which actually doesn't take as long as people think. It can take like 15 minutes rather than relying on these kind of commercial products, which have a lot of different additives in it.
Right.
And the same with things like kefir. We know that literally, it takes 2 minutes. You just add these kefir grains into some cow's milk and it ferments it. That's thought to have a much more diverse range of bacteria than the ones you get in the supermarket.
Sure.
So yeah, I'm absolutely about, you know, trying to do your own when you can, going to farmers markets and stuff like sure. that. But, you know, I don't want that to prevent people from eating plant-based foods. You know, we can't always have access to farmers markets. So right, sometimes having like frozen fruit and veg is still fine, better than nothing.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, that like moderation piece. Exactly. Can you kind of give us a breakdown on probiotics and prebiotics? What are kind of the main differences and when and how, like how do we know when to implement them into our diet?
Yeah, good question. So prebiotics, P-R-E-biotics, is essentially the food for the good bacteria. So they're found in a heap of our different fruit and veg. In fact, if you're getting in your 30 different types of plant-based food, you're going to be getting plenty of prebiotics. So things that are really high, things like legumes, onion, garlic, are all good sources of prebiotics. Now the probiotics, prebiotics, there are some kind of indications in my clinic where I would recommend people take a supplement, but very few. So I think for the general person, get your prebiotics from food.
Okay.
In terms of probiotics, so probiotic, just one letter difference, they're essentially the good microbes, so things like some bacteria and yeast, and often they come in capsule form. Now, I think probiotics have been very much misunderstood. So there's been a lot of media attention saying that they're all useless, we shouldn't take them. And for some areas, absolutely, they are useless and you shouldn't take them. But there are some medical indications where actually taking a specific probiotic is recommended. So I think we need to start thinking about probiotics kind of like, you know, if you think of vitamins and minerals, if you have vitamin D deficiency, you're not going to go and take an iron supplement and expect your vitamin D deficiency to improve. So you need to be very specific with probiotics. So an example is, so again, in my book, I've got the 7 different areas where there's good evidence to take a probiotic with the specific prescription. So an example is with antibiotics. So if you have to go on antibiotics for whatever reason, there's good evidence to take a specific probiotic, and that's Saccharomyces boulardii. You would take that throughout your duration of your antibiotics and for a week after, and you would take it at a dose of 5 billion units twice a day. So see how prescriptive that is?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's how we should be using probiotics to get the most benefit out
okay.
of them.
Okay, got it. It sounds complex, but I suppose, right?
Yeah, it is. That's if we want the benefit, that's the way we need to. I would never recommend someone just go and pop a probiotic. It's going to be useless. Okay. Anyone off the shelf, you need to be very specific if you want that benefit.
Okay, got it. So if there was someone out there who was like looking to do a sort of like gut overhaul, like overhaul, maybe starting from scratch, if you will, what do you suggest that they do first?
Yeah. So if it's because someone's got gut symptoms, so if they've got bloating or funky stools, I would always recommend before you change anything in your diet to go to your GP. Now, this is because often people start to cut things out of their diet. And in the UK, there's about 500,000 people living with undiagnosed celiac disease. Now, celiac disease is an autoimmune condition to gluten. And the tests that the doctors will do, you actually need to have gluten in your diet for that test to be accurate. So actually, often we're seeing people go to these clinics once they've already cut it out, they get the test mm-hmm. and they get a false negative. And they think, oh, I don't have celiac disease. But actually, it's because they've taken the food out. So always go to your GP first.
Okay, got it.
And then I think one of the key things, not only obviously being biased, but get my book because it is that 101 guide. But if you want to make a bit of a diet plan for yourself and look at what foods you're currently having, try getting the 30 different types, but also look at things like your lifestyle. So are you getting your 7 to 9 hours sleep? Are you doing some meditation? Are you moving your body and exercising? Mm-hmm. So looking at all areas, not just fixating on diet or just fixating on exercise. Totally. It does seem to, boring as it is the holistic piece coming through.
Right. So it's like that 360 degree entire view. You can't just like just have tunnel vision looking at your diet.
Yeah.
Okay, makes sense. So how you and I actually originally met, we were at a hair care event and you were speaking on the effects of the gut when it comes to your hair. So can you speak a little bit more on the sorts of effects that our gut has maybe on like our hair, our skin, and like maybe from like a beauty perspective in general?
Yeah. So what we often see, what I've seen in clinic is that when people try to look after their gut health, they go really restrictive and they'll cut out all these food groups. And actually that puts them at risk of different nutrition deficiencies. So things like iron deficiency, B12 deficiency, zinc deficiency, and things like that. And actually, those deficiencies are linked with the increased risk of hair fall. So I think it's important that we don't go over the top when we're trying to look after our health and restrict all these types of food groups. Actually, if we're getting in that diversity piece, we're going to be, you know, looking after, you know, things like our hair and our skin. A really interesting thing on this area in terms of our gut health, so like I said, we've got the trillions of bacteria in our gut. We also have millions of bacteria on our skin. And this is called our skin microbiota. And it's such a new area of research that there still aren't any clinically validated products yet for topical probiotics. There are some companies kind of selling them, but there's no evidence for them yet. So I think hold off. But I think in the next year, there will be topical probiotics for people who've got things like eczema and acne and things like that. So it's really an exciting area to think that we've got like this second skin of these bacteria and we should be nourishing them. And I think at the moment, nourishing your gut bacteria is probably the best way to nourish your skin bacteria. In fact, we notice that particularly if mom has eczema, issues with eczema, then the bub is also likely to get eczema. However, sure, if they take a specific probiotic during the pregnancy and give it to the bub for the first 6 months of life, their baby's risk of eczema is reduced by 50%.
Oh, wow.
So we do know the gut bacteria do have a role in skin health, but it's not as simple. So a lot of people in clinic come to me who've already got eczema and they're adults and they say, can I take a probiotic and improve my eczema? And sadly, there is no evidence for that at the moment, but improving their gut health may have some sort of benefit.
Okay, cool. So for someone who's like maybe not hyper-focused on their gut and then all of a sudden like gets really into it, they can expect to have some nice kind of like vanity kind of pros come out of it. It sounds like maybe more glowy skin and you just kind of notice everything else. It kind of goes hand in hand.
Yeah, it really is. It's hard to kind of isolate because the clinical trials haven't been done. But anecdotally speaking, absolute people who look after their gut health do seem to have, you know, the better hair, the better skin, and things like that, because it's all holistic. You know, we can't look at different organs in isolation. You know, our skin and our gut are all interconnected.
Yeah, absolutely. And then on the flip side, obviously we hear so many things about like the effects of our diet on our entire bodies, but also our minds. So what is your kind of general take on that? And like, what can people expect to get from a healthy gut when it comes to our mental health?
Yeah. So if we think about it, we've known for a long time about this gut-brain axis. So if you are nervous, you feel it often in your gut. So that's the thoughts going from your head to your gut. But it's only been more recently where we've appreciated there's a new player to this gut-brain communication, which we call the gut-brain axis. And that, of course, is the bacteria. And there's been some amazing landmark studies just coming out highlighting that people who follow a gut-boosting diet seem to be able to improve their mental health. So if anyone is really into research, they can look up the SMILES trial. So that was undertaken in Australia, and it was like the first landmark study to really show this, where they put people on either a gut-boosting diet, which provided 50 grams of fiber a day. In the UK and probably the US as well, we're getting less than 20 grams of fiber a day, and fiber feeds a gut bacteria. So you think fiber, which is the backbone of all our plant-based foods, is food for the bacteria. So they gave them 50 grams of fiber a day, or they had this like placebo fake intervention group, which was like a befriending type of counseling. And that was just to make sure any benefit in the diet group wasn't because they were seeing the dietitian, but actually because of the food. They followed them up after 12 weeks, and these people at baseline had moderate to severe depression. And they found in the diet group, 32% of them had a significant improvement in their depression scores, which would have classified them as no longer clinically depressed. In the placebo group, that was only 8%.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so incredible.
After 12 weeks. Now, yeah, it's really important to highlight that because these people had moderate to severe depression, they all stayed on their medication. So if people are listening to this, don't stop medication and expect, just go all the way with diet.
Sure.
But for people who are more early stages before they've gone on medication, maybe we should be looking more at diet. And actually, I've seen in my clinic where I've worked with people's psychologists and their GP who prescribed the antidepressants, and over time, by boosting their gut health, we've been able to reduce some of their medications, antidepressant medications. So it's like a whole other world of, potential, and really shows that, you know, not all cases of depression, because depression is so complex. But, you know, there are many cases where diet can have a supportive role.
Yeah, absolutely. That's so incredible. And it's, again, that holistic full picture, mind, body, and everything. Yeah. That was so helpful. Thank you so much. But before you go, a couple questions for you. I know you have so much going on, but is there anything next for you or anything coming up that you want to share with the audience?
So there are a few things, but unfortunately I can't share them just yet, but some really great collaborations, which hopefully will spread more evidence-based kind of information around gut health, because there are so many like products coming to market and supplements which actually just aren't doing people's guts any good. So yeah, really excited about them, and I'll let you know as soon as I can.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
And we'll link out to your book and everything. But otherwise, where can everybody keep up with you and find you on social media and all of that jazz?
Yeah, so website is thegutheal.com, and then social media is the Gut Health Doctor across all of them, Instagram, Facebook, etc.
Amazing. Thank you so much for sharing all of your knowledge and coming on the podcast.
Well, thank you for sharing all your beauty and glam knowledge with me so we can switch.
Oh, you are welcome. Thank you all for listening. Please don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes, and we will catch you on the next episode.